This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 187. And don't forget the sex! Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to another episode of our podcast, people.
Hi! I feel like we haven't talked to you guys in a long time.
It's only been a week.
I know, but it feels like forever.
It feels like the first time. Well, not really. No.
No.
It doesn't feel like that, but it does feel really good. And you know what else feels really good? Reading stuff on our website.
Oh, I was going to say massages.
Massages do feel good, but
warm
also
laundry.
Warm laundry feels great. Okay, it doesn't feel good. It feels great. But reading the stuff on our website will also give you warm, fuzzy feelings. So make sure you check it out at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, please do. Subscribe. It won't kill you.
We're pretty sure.
You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and you can also listen to some great shows coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. Our show kicks off the week and get you started on Monday, but to get you all the way through Hump Day, there are a couple other shows you should definitely check out coming from the ESH alum, like the Boston Bastard Brigade, helmed by our very own King Baby Duck. They've got new episodes coming at you every Tuesday, and our man Deuces Wild's got a podcast called Geek Aggro that comes out every Wednesday. So right there, ESH, the team, the crew, the legend. It's got you covered right up to Hump Day. And then to get you through the rest of the week, well, there's the stuff on our website, like she said. But you can also follow our random thoughts and things on Twitter and join our Facebook group. And you can find all the information on all these communities at electricsisterhood.com/socialize. So make sure that you hit us up, check us out, ask us questions, interact. We like to be touched. Appropriately, not inappropriately.
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, you know, that's another podcast.
I'm just kidding.
So let's get
I kid.
Let's get into this one because we do have a bunch of things to talk about. The major one is going to be heavy rain. So I'm going to let you know right this minute. If you have not finished Heavy Rain, don't listen to this podcast episode.
Yeah.
This one's not for you. Because we've got a lot that we need to get off our chest. And so we're going to talk about the entire game. So I'm going to give you a second to put down your coffee and switch to something else on your iPod or your Zoom. And then we'll resume. Okay, so now that those pussies are out of the way, we got a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do.
So we have both played Heavy Rain on the PS3, which if you don't have this game and you haven't played it yet, or you bought it and you haven't put it in your PS3 yet, slap yourself, stop whatever you're doing. I don't care what it is.
We don't care if you're banging a hot gamer chick right now.
Stop.
She should not be banging you if you haven't played this game.
Agreed. So get up, put on some underwear, grab the game, put it in your PS3, and
put on your Snuggie. You don't even need to put on pants. Snuggie.
Just as long as it's not cheetah print. I am boycotting the Cheetah Print Snuggie. But you need to play Heavy Rain. It is, I think, it's the most emotionally disturbing game that I have played.
I liked it.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I loved it. I love it. But it is the most emotionally disturbing game. It's really difficult for me right now to even call it a game. More than a digital experience.
Agreed.
but it is by far the most engaged I've been with anything that I've done on my consoles since 2005. That's a big thing for me to say.
And you like big things.
I
do. Sorry.
No, but seriously, let's get into the nitty-gritty. So in Heavy Rain, first of all, it is a massive choose-your-own-destiny game. I'm not even going to say adventure because it's way past adventure.
Yep, it's fate and destiny, and your choices will lead to a particular...
And it's one of the first games, really, that I felt like the choices I was making were really affecting...
Oh, yes, they really do. I mean, we've talked about the fact that, you know, even since E3 last year, you know, oh, 4 playable characters. Oh, and if you die as one, that's it. You know, then we're like, oh, we're so intrigued by that. But then when you're playing through this game, you're like, holy fuck, it's true. Like, it's real.
Right, because I think that, you know, when we talked about Heavy Rain after E3 last year, we were really kind of going, okay, so there's one story, and I'm going to have about 4 different ways to get to this one story. And so if one of my characters dies, I'm still going to get this story. And I think that we both had the idea that the exact same storyline was going to play out. It was just going to be how you got there.
Yeah.
The reality of the game is that is not the case.
No.
Heavy Rain purports 22 distinct different story endings that you could have based on the decisions that each of your characters make. And I think most importantly, decisions they make at specific times through the gameplay story.
Though, for the achievement, you only need to unlock 7.
So here's the deal. Here's the rundown. Here's the story. And then we'll start talking about our different playthroughs. The first character that you get to control in Heavy Rain is a guy named Ethan.
Yep.
And Ethan is a really good guy. He loves his wife. He loves his kids.
He's an architect.
He likes to be clean.
I know. You get man butt like within the first like minute.
Yep.
Of the game.
He likes to use the facilities, take a shower, brush.
No offense, I truly enjoyed taking pisses in this game.
Really?
I did. Well, I mean, not as the female, excuse me, not as a female, obviously, because I am one, but I was like, oh my god, can I actually walk to that toilet and pee stand? And I could, and I was like, get out of here. And I went back a couple of times, and I was like,
"Ease your penis envy."
Well, actually, later on when we get to a different part, I will say yes. And I'm sure you know which part.
I do. But Ethan has a really, really nice wife and 2 really cute kids that just like to be with their daddy. And there's a birthday party.
We're having sunshine and rainbows and Care Bears.
And you're just like, all right, this is pretty good. How is this going to be bad? Oh, that's the wrong question. Don't ask that question. You're going to regret that you asked that question. Because it goes bad really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, great, holy fucking shit, it's horrible.
I will say right now, if you have children and you love your children, you will find this game to be probably your worst nightmare. I would say that the storyline that unfolds in Heavy Rain is probably every parent's greatest fear about what could happen to their small children. So the game starts out after the birthday party. Family goes to the mall. 2 sons, mom and dad. 1 kid, Jason, wants a balloon. He wanders off. You try to run after him, but unlike any other game that you've played before, there really is no run.
Nope, you walk through everything.
You go at the speed that the game says, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. So you feel kind of helpless because I found myself like shaking my controller to try and get him to move faster in the mall because you can see your kid. You're like, oh, there's Jason. Let me just get past the... No, people move. I'm trying to... Run, you bastard. Why won't you run? He's right there. You can get him. But you can't.
You can't.
And you catch up with him and to the balloon, and now you gotta pay for the balloon. So you start feeling around in all your pockets to find your money, but you can't, and your son starts wandering off again in this mall full of people. So you see the balloon, you start running after him, well, walking briskly, when you really want to run, and you keep bumping into people, and you have to, contextual control comes up, which the game is basically full of. There are all these textual control things that pop up, and you have to make a decision, and depending upon how anxious your character is, things will be blurry, so it's kind of hard to see what symbol goes along with what decision at times, which can lead to bad things happening.
Yes, often.
Often. And you also, for a lot of points that these options come up in the game, you will also have a short window of time that you can even make the jumbly decisions in before the game makes the decision for you. Don't let the game make the decision for
you. No, never let
people die.
Yes, don't.
So I tell this information.
They gave us free will and gave us choice. Use it.
But quickly.
Yes.
Don't take too much time.
Mm-mm.
And so you get to the point where you realize that he's not in the mall. Your wife is panicking. You finally see a kid dressed like him with the balloon across the street outside the mall. You start heading towards him. He starts heading back across the street. The boy doesn't look both ways. That's a problem. All right, should have taught him to look both ways. Whole game might have been avoided if you just taught the kid to look both ways. But he doesn't. Car comes. You jump in front of the car. Everything goes black.
Now, I mean, you take a big chunk of that hit. I mean, if you look at the slow motion action, like, you're technically, Ethan is in front of the car. So if you're going to go by logic, you'd assume that, you know, the kid would, you know, might have a few cuts and bruises, but wouldn't necessarily die.
Wrong. He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. And
when
Ethan,
you come back to color from being in black, Ethan's like in the shittiest part of town. So you've gone from like beautiful upper suburbia to Cracktown, USA.
In the ghetto.
It is in the ghetto.
You're in the barrio, man.
Yeah, he is. Like, there's a bodega around the corner,
bodega.
I'm sure.
Bodega.
That sells Lucy's for 25 cents. But anyway, he's got this cruddy-ass apartment.
Yep.
That has, like, a couch, kind of, sort of, a kitchen table, and boxes.
Hey, but he has two bathrooms.
He does have two bathrooms. So that, you know, I give him credit for that.
Yeah. But, and he does have his own studio where, I don't know if you did it or not, when you're in that, if you explore the whole house, he has, like, a drawing room like he did in his other really nice house.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click on the TV, you see a video of the family when it was happy and there was no rain. It's actually, in my first game, I didn't go into that room, and I did in my second playthrough, and I was like, ow, my fuck you game. Like, I haven't been through enough already.
You're going to remind me of everything I've lost. Thank you, game.
Thank you, game.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, the story starts unfolding for Ethan that Jason died. He wasn't able to save him. He was in a coma for 6 months. He and his wife have split up, and they share custody of their other...
2 years later.
Yes. And they share...
6 months after the hit, he's out. When he comes to, he goes back to his life, but they're having problems. Because I think later on in the game, when at some point Ethan's in the police station... And he's talking to Blake.
Yes.
And if you do things correctly, another character is there listening in. And that character asks, you know, like, is there any reason why, you know, your second son, something's going to happen there, you know, would not want to be around? You know, so he does state that 6 months in from this date is when he separated from his wife. So he was with his wife for at least a year before the split.
Yeah, but... Let's get to the nut and bolt of this. They're not together. They're sharing custody of Sean, the second son. Ethan's having a really hard time relating to Sean, and he's depressed and he's sad all the time.
Well,
and Sean doesn't want his dad to be depressed because it makes him bummed out. Nobody's happy there.
Nope. Not one fucking person.
Let's cut to another person now. So out of no place, the game shifts. And every time you shift to a new person or a storyline, there is a load screen, which is basically just a close-up of their face.
Yep.
With a white light shining on them and a dark background. So after about the second time this happened, I'm like, so are they undergoing an interrogation? Is that why they're, like, looking all over the place all the time? Why aren't they talking? Why isn't somebody talking to them? Did they do something? I don't understand. This is making me nervous.
Right.
And then it would actually load the game and I'd have to play. So why don't you tell them about the second person that we're going to...
So the second person is actually, I believe it's Scott Shelby that you play second. And if you got the demo, then you kind of played this part of the game, or at least a little bit. They gave you more of a tutorial in the demo that isn't necessarily in the game, but that's just to get you familiar with the mechanics.
Right.
But you show up in this sleazy part of town, even sleazier than where Ethan is living.
Yeah, if you can imagine that.
Like, two blocks down from where Ethan lives is the slums, and that's where Scott starts. And Scott is a PI who is sent to investigate, you know, like he's going back to all the families who have lost a son to this origami killer.
And that's when the origami killer is actually introduced in the game.
And as in the demo, you go into this place and you're looking for a Lauren Winter. And she's actually the mother of one of the sons that they had found dead on a wasteland. And you walk up these stairs, you walk to her apartment, and she's a lady
of the evening.
She's a lady of the night. And, you know, at first she's like, I only see people by appointment, you know, and you got to get in there. And she assumes you're just a client and, you know, you can put money on the table. And in the first playthrough, I didn't actually. And she didn't say.
I put some money on the table.
Second time I did. But you're just there trying to get information from her. You know, and at first she's like, I really don't want to talk about it. You know, just get out of here. And you have to, you can either trick her or pay her to. Because if you put the money on the table, then you can say that you bought her time and she should just tell you. Or you can trick her and make her feel bad and make her say anything. And as, you know, as that's unwinding, you get a little bit of an idea of the origami killer. He's killing sons, you know, they're being pulled out of, you know, public places. Which is kind of weird because you'd assume that, you know, no one would be able to walk up to your kid and just take them with you right there.
Yes, but...
So, but like this killer is,
yeah,
is clever. But after the whole conversation with her, you leave your card on the table and you go to leave. And as you're walking back down the stairs, you have an asthma attack. Because, yes, Scott Shelby being a very big...
He's a big dude.
He's a big husky dude. He was a cop.
Would shop at the Big and Tall because he's big.
But he has asthma.
Yeah.
So as he's walking down, he gets an asthma attack, and you have to search through all of his pockets to find it, you know, unless you memorize where they are. Same goes for Ethan's pocket, because if you know exactly where the money is, no matter how fast you get to it, that whole thing plays out that way, just so that you know, because I memorized
it. I figured as much, because I did the same thing. And, I was like, I'm going to find that money faster.
Yeah, it's always in the same pocket. I always thought that they would change it up so you'd have to look through all of them. But no, it's always in the same one. And as you're having the asthma attack as Scott, this guy walks by. I think his name's Troy. And he was a client of Lauren's. And he got a little too possessive and was demanding that he see, you know, she see him. And he got a little rough and he was beating her.
Little rough? He was beating the bejesus out of her.
And when you finally, you know, take your, you know, I can breathe again, you go back to the door. I mean, I think there's an option where you don't, but.
No, I've never done it. You go back and help her. You don't just let some lady get beat up. I don't care if she's pixels or not.
So you go back and it's kind of like your first boss. It's like a mini boss battle or your first interlude with a fight.
Mm-hmm.
A fight that's all, everything's QTE anyway.
Yeah, it's your first major confrontation.
Yeah. And believe it or not, I don't know if you, when you played the demo, you played it multiple times, but depending on how many times you make a mistake, you will see physical damage on your character.
Yes.
So, I mean, at first I didn't realize this because the first time I played the demo, I didn't make a mistake, so Scott looked perfectly fine. And the second time I was like, I wonder if you can die here. Because, I, you know, in the demo I didn't care because it wasn't the actual game and I wasn't saving anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I played through it and I didn't touch any of the controls and Scott just looked fucked up. Troy fucked his ass up.
Well, yeah. It's a big battle. I mean, there's a chair flying, there's the head on the thing, breaking, there's glass breaking.
Tables and chairs just...
But it's a great attention to detail to know that your character will look fucked up and that will carry through your character.
Yeah, exactly. It will follow throughout the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say in this hypothetical scenario, we don't make a mistake. You beat the heck out of Troy and he's like, I'll see you again, asshole. And he leaves. And I thought he'd like be outside, but he's not. He really doesn't follow suit with his threat.
No.
And you've now kind of, you know, saved the damsel in distress, and now she's in love with you.
Well, she's starting.
She's starting to.
To kind
she's coming
of,
around. She's
yeah.
coming around.
From she doesn't place. Think that you're a douchebag
yeah.
anymore.
So, I mean,
at this point.
So once you go through that, I believe it goes and it shifts to another character. Straight away, and that is the FBI guy.
Jaden.
Norman Jaden. And this is also part of the demo when you go to the crime scene. And you find out that there's another child on a wasteland. I think his last name is Bowles.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually meet his mother later on in the game. I won't say through whom, because that will come later. But this is where you actually get to, since you did the demo, you would know, you get these really cool glasses when you play as Norman, called the Ari, and you can see samples of blood, tissue, like
it's very Minority Report.
It is.
It's like a portable Minority Report.
I mean, and I felt like, you know, the game kind of gypped me on that because the demo always showed a lot of gameplay with Norman. So I thought, oh my God, this game is gonna let me like look at everything.
But yeah, no.
But you don't get that many experiences with Norman and the Ari in, you know, that type of sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're analyzing the body, you're trying to find all these clues that are in this one crime scene, you know, and you also find out that, the Ari uses this, I want to say it's like a powder.
Oh, something like that.
Yeah. Tryptophan, or Trypto is what he calls it for short. Mm-hmm. And that's what allows him to use the Ari. But
drugs are bad.
It's very, very addicting. And he has shakes because he's addicted to it. Because you know everyone
says
he's
being addicted to meth, basically.
Yeah,
but it's a meth that allows him to see things.
Let him see things, analyze things, and he thinks it's trippy.
Mm-hmm.
And the more into the story you get, it's actually there's a instance with Norman where he's in the Ari system because it can be anything. Like at one point when you're decorating your office using your Ari, you can choose several settings that you'll work in, and they're all very beautiful, especially with an HDMI cable. So if you don't have one, get one.
Mm-hmm.
And but at one point he's in this lounge and there's this cocktail guy who gives him a drink, and he's just like, sir, you might want to be careful not to overindulge, because this will be the death of you. So, you know, one of the, you know, physical conflicts with Norman is the fact that he is addicted to this substance. So, I mean, we see with Scott, you know, he's got asthma, which I thought they'd play more into since they tease you with that in the first bit of the game. But mm-hmm. It's one of the only times that you ever have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there are several cases throughout the story where something will happen with Norman. He'll be out in the field and he'll start to shake and he's like, I have to keep it together. And you have to choose whether he's going to take a hit of this stuff or if he's going to try to detox off of it. And depending on how many times you use, that could in fact seal the deal at the end of the story for Norman if he doesn't die before that.
And then the final character that we're introduced to is... what's her name?
Madison.
Thank you. I was blanking. I'm like, Morgan?
No, Madison.
Madigan? Oh, boy.
And believe it or not, when I was worried that they weren't going to give her a lot of depth, because you don't really get you actually don't play her right after Norman. You actually go back to Ethan.
Right.
Because this is where the plot actually happens, where now, and he's already lost one son, and
he's losing another of his own doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Sean gets abducted by the origami killer. But it's weird, because there's a point in the game where Ethan's seeing a psychiatrist.
Yes.
And Ethan's been having these blackouts. And, I mean, this is one of those weird loopholes in the game, and I don't know if it's something that they've designed so that they can make downloadable content, which will explain this.
I hope that they do, because it's one of the holes that, you know, in my playthrough wasn't plugged up, and I really wanted it to be.
And it's not plugged up in any of the other
scenarios. But what works in favor of the game is, as you're playing through these characters, they all have some kind of overlapping piece of what they're going through that...
Like origami, they're folded. They're all folded and intertwined to each other.
And with the origami killer. Madison's deal is that she is an insomniac and has some...
And, you know, they didn't full-on explain her either.
They didn't.
What I think in that case is that, you know, she got famous because she's not just an insomniac. She does have a official position.
Yes, occupation. She's a writer.
She's a journalist. Let's make that clear. She's a journalist. So let's assume that means probably for a very popular newspaper and or magazine.
Yes.
So, you know, because writers can sit in their house and write a book, and journalists have to go out, get facts, confirm, and sometimes put themselves in very awkward situations, which we see through Madison.
Right.
And I think, because they don't, like I said, they don't really explain it, I think she got her claim to fame, moved into this apartment, was very comfortable there, and then something traumatic happens, like a break-in. Because when you first play her, she's in her apartment, and she wakes up, and it's late. It's like 3 in the morning, I want to say, maybe even like early 2 into 3. And she's like, you know, her TV's all black and snowy, you know, and she looks at her clock, and she's like, you know, maybe I should take a shower. That might help me be able to fall asleep. Maybe I'll drink some milk.
But then there's a shadow of a person that moves.
Yes.
On the other side of the apartment.
Yes. Now, it's really funny because her loft is open. There are no thick, concealed walls. So there is no way in fuck's hell, or hell's fuck.
Are those two different places?
No.
They're both off at exit 16, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But there's no way in this type of apartment that she would not be able to see someone. It's too open.
I know, but still, you got to admit, the first couple of times that you saw... like that person move. You were kind of freaked out just a little bit.
I was like, you know, well, because the first time I saw it, because I think there were several different places that if you walk to them, you'll see that shadow in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
So the minute I saw it, I said, I'm going over there. And I'd walk over there and there was nothing. And I'm like, I saw him run this way. He can't be under my bed. The bed's like on the ground. So I'm like, all right, well, let me take a shower. Let me play along with the game here. And, you know, this is where you get some boob. You get your boob shot, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, pretty.
And believe it or not, they're pretty impressive tits.
They're not bad.
No. And as I was having Esh Mom watch me play, I purposely, because, you know, if you don't touch anything when she's under the shower, she'll just keep rubbing herself. And Esh Mom was kind of like, how is she showering without any soap? You know, but regardless, it's just like, wow, it's really detailed. And I'm like, yes, point taken. So you shower, you see some boob, you see some butt, you come back out, you're wet and you're glossy and you're sexy, because she's sexy.
Yeah, man.
And she goes back to her bed to go lay down, and all of a sudden she hears this tinkering noise, and she looks over and her fridge is open. She's like, I didn't leave the fridge open. And let's go figure this out. So you walk over to it slowly, and all of a sudden she sees not one, but two figures in her apartment. And she's like, holy shit. there's someone in the apartment. No, really? Really? Now I'm surprised that, you know, they didn't come in on her shower.
Right, because I would, that would be the most vulnerable place for somebody to, like, make a move on you. But no, yeah. They wait till she gets into the bed.
They wait.
Then this massive whole apartment fight happens. Mind you, you're just in a cami and underpants.
Yeah, though, you know, there is a way that you could just, you know, put the shirt on and walk out without pants on. Panties, anyway. But move on from that. So, yes, okay. another quick time fight happens. You know, and I'm like, you know, it'd be sucky if she died right here, because I'm like, we have at this point, since we've already told you, but you don't know in this first scenario with her that she's a journalist and how she's even going to play a part in this whole story.
Yep. And so, then you watch her get her throat slashed and you're like, what the fuck?
Exactly. Because if you do everything right, it doesn't particularly matter, because at the end, she runs into the bathroom, which she just came from. Hypothetically, and there was no one in there. And after she beats the two guys from her main part of the apartment, when she goes into the bathroom, she's backing up, and there's a third guy. So I think he was just watching her shower. He's like, I'm just gonna hang in here. She'll come back. And he slits her throat, and she wakes up.
Because it was a dream.
It was
like Bobby Ewan in a shower at Dallas.
But regardless, I think something along those lines happened to her, which is why she had the problem sleeping at night in her place. But anyway, so that's...
And I would love for that piece of the story to happen. And the overlap with Ethan is, as a complication of the car accident, he has these blackouts. And what happens to him is he has no recollection of anything that happens during these blackouts. And they are coinciding with times where bodies
are
the victims of the origami killer are appearing.
And when he comes to... He's always at the exact same place holding an origami figure in his hand.
Yeah. Which, at the point that I finally made that connection, because it wasn't until he had the second blackout that I made the connection, is when I had to actually stop the game and pause it and went, okay, you bastards, I hate you right now. Because one of the things that you have to do when you first put this game in is load a bunch of content onto your PS3.
Yep.
And so one of the things that they give you instructions to do is to actually fold a little origami figure.
Did you do it?
I did.
I did mine too.
Because I figured, you know, I've probably got a little bit of time here. Because it's probably going to be, you know, 4 or 5 gig install. And at least they give me something creative to do while I'm doing this install. So I don't just, you know, do my normal thing, which is go and watch like music videos while it's doing the install. So I'm following along my instructions and I make my little origami figure and then I realize what it is. And when
what is it?
So it's the origami figure that's on the
cover
of the game.
Yeah, but what animal is it?
I think... It's supposed to be like a seal because it's got like little flippers and it's got the kind of sort of beak, but it's got, you know, the swooshy tail.
Because it kind of looks like a Pokemon.
It does look like a Pokemon, but like, I don't think it really wouldn't fit.
From the inside, if you look from the inside, it looks like a Metapod without the flippers. If you're not looking at the flippers, it looks like a Metapod.
But it definitely looks like it has flippers and like a
tail. Which is funny because none of the victims that you encounter in the game hold an origami figure like this one.
Right.
So it makes me wonder why they incorporated this particular figure, because none of them hold it. Granted, you only see one victim in the entire game and he's holding a dog.
Yes.
Which is also the same origami figure that Ethan's holding every time he comes out of his blackout.
Yes. So there's a lot of great attention to detail in this game, and there is a lot of story there. I won't go into everything, but I found myself so emotionally attached to this game that I absolutely had to complete it. You know, a lot of games I pick up and I play, and I don't necessarily feel compelled to finish the fight, if you would. I enjoy the gameplay, but, you know, if I make it to the end boss, okay, no big deal. And if I don't, well, no, you know, sweat off my jock. But this game, as messed up as it is, as just really fucked up at times as it was, I found myself, after I started playing it, knowing that there was no way I was going to be able to get through the weekend until I finished the story. I had to save Sean.
Or not save
Sean. No, there was no not saving Sean option. So when you get a little bit further into the story, you find out that Ethan is being tasked with saving Sean by the Origami King.
Yep, saving his son.
And so he's given a box that has four origami figures in it.
Yep.
A
Do you remember which ones they are?
There's a bear. There's a lizard.
Butterfly. No, put them in order. There's a bear,
butterfly, lizard, and shark.
Shark and rat. There are five.
Right. I always forget rat.
Rat. There are five.
Right.
A cell phone or a video phone.
Quote yes. Unquote,
and a gun.
Right. And so Ethan unfolds, and they all have numbers.
Wait, don't forget that, you know, he doesn't get the box straight away. He gets a letter. So all the fathers in this game, before their children were abducted, all received a letter. And inside the letter was a very creepy, cryptid message, and also a stub to a locker. And this locker is, I think, at a train station.
Yeah.
And in the locker is this box, just so that we know, keep linear here. So, yes, yeah, so all those things.
Thank you, linear police.
Yep. If we're going to spoil it, then let's spoil it correctly.
Okay.
But so Ethan goes through the station. Now, mind you, because of this horrifying experience he had in big crowds, he is also now agoraphobic.
Yes. Very, very, very
can't deal with crowds.
At all.
And there's, of course, at a train station, there's a whole shitload of people. And he actually goes through, like, an episode. He goes through a panic attack, and you have to navigate him through until eventually he goes into a state of, I want to say it's a blackout for him, actually, but you actually get to live through this blackout. And the whole station's frozen. And he can hear Jason, and Jason's got this balloon, and he's calling to his father, and, you know, you are walking through all these people, and as you touch them, they fall dead on the ground.
Yep. I finally just started making a beeline through people.
Believe it or not, there's a trophy, not an achievement. There's a trophy for knocking down 50 or more of them within the time frame.
Oh, I wish I had known that, because I would have totally got
there
that
is
trophy.
One. There is one.
But what's really amazing about the story is the story. It is compelling story. You know, I had to save my son. It wasn't that I had to finish the game. I mean, I went to my day job talking and obsessing about this game and counting the hours till I would get home so I could start the process of trying to save my kid.
See, how long did it take you to finish your
play? It took me 8 hours. And I.
So you did it first day or
3 hours for the first 2 days. Okay. So it took me 3 days to get through it because I was only playing it after work.
Right.
If I had been able to sit down and play through it, I would have done it all in one sitting.
Oh, it's easily done. Believe it or not, even though the story is enriched, the gameplay is actually, it's not that much. I mean, you can get through a single playthrough in a day. If you are a trophy hunter or, you know, if this was an Xbox 360 game achievement whore, then obviously you would go back into the game to do multiple playthroughs. Believe it or not, depending on how you play through your first, I mean, if you're the kind of person who has dumb luck and you play it a certain way, then you could easily go back. Because once you've completed a game, they give you 3 save slots, but you can load a game from those slots and then choose chapters to replay. So you can ultimately change what your story's ending is. And this is how you get all the possible 7 endings that you can get a trophy for. I believe it's a gold trophy, too. But anyway, I don't think anybody coming into this game would know how to get this particular trophy. It's called a perfect crime. And you have to do certain things. Like, you have to commit the perfect crime, which means once you know who the killer is,
getting rid of everybody else.
You have to clean up all evidence that links to you. All of it.
You know what's really interesting to me, and the thing that really sells this game for me, and I've mentioned it already, but I'm going to talk a little bit about it in detail, is the attention to detail. There are many times that you have interactions, and the fine details of those interactions are called up almost immediately. So it has a very tangible memory game within the game.
Yep.
You know, when Sean...
When you first get Sean and you have to be a good father and up for 4:30 is snack time. Like, because actually if you do that, you know, when you first get him and you're at your apartment, if you do that whole list, like in your kitchen, you get a trophy for that. Good dad.
I didn't do that.
Yeah. So, I mean.
I couldn't figure out how to give him a snack.
If you walk over to him when he's on the couch. Mm-hmm. You will get a little, like, mind thought that says hungry, and you go, oh, you hungry? And he goes, yeah, I'm kind of hungry. The minute you get in the door is when you need to ask him, because you actually don't get to your house until, like, 4:15.
See, and by the time, I didn't do that. Yeah. I didn't ask him until, like, 6 o'clock.
It doesn't matter.
And then he's already, like, jumping up on a chair to get something to eat.
And, point when you're filling out, because, you know, once Sean gets abducted, Ethan goes to the police. And the police are like, well, do you remember what time you were at the park with your son? Because there's a park scene and there's a clock. And if you're not paying attention to the
And
detail,
I wasn't. I didn't even know there was a clock.
There's a clock.
I was like, I think it was like 4.
Like, well, what time were you there? And of course, because Ethan is nervous, it's all blurry and shaky. So you can't. So you need to know. And you have to be able to look really fast and see what it is.
I forgot what he was wearing.
The time was 4:15. If you guys don't know, because it's always going to be the same time. He's wearing a beige coat with green pants.
Yeah, I totally said green coat with brown pants.
Yeah, no. And believe it or not, and you get a trophy for correctly remembering that, actually. But it calls into question, it wants to make sure that you're paying attention.
And you do. And I think it's a great mechanic because it really made me, once I realized that, okay, all of these details that are going on, if there's a clock nearby, there's a clock for a reason. If there is an object that somebody in the room either obsesses over or looks at more than once, it's important for some reason. It really made me start paying hard attention to the game, which made me invest more in the game. So it's a great mechanic, and it's so deceptively simple of a mechanic that I'm not sure why more developers don't use it.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they start now.
Oh, there's going to be all kinds of mimics. I'm gonna say it right now. This game is going to be a contender for the 2010 Game of the Year. And it is so unique.
It is. It really is. It really is.
There's no way that it's not going to be a contender for Game of the Year. In a year where we've got, you know, Modern Warfare 2, Uncharted 2, God of War 3, Dante's Inferno, which, let's face it, was a really enjoyable game, but that fucking ending, but that's okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I will. You've got a PS3. I will send it to you. You need to play Dante's Inferno.
I heard you see Dante's hairy butt crack.
You see Dante's dick.
Whoa.
As well as his butt crack, but you also see his wang.
Oh my God, does Satan fuck him in the butt?
No, but you also see Satan's wang, and Satan is...
Oh my God, they have a wang war?
It's not that they have a wang war.
They play swords in hell.
They don't play swords in hell.
They're playing swords in hell.
They're using swords in hell, but they're not playing swords in hell.
And swords is code for penis.
But you...
Man peace.
There's digital cock.
Digital cock.
Okay. Anyway, let's get back. But in a year where we've got a lot of great, solid games, especially on the action front, it is very surprising to me to be sitting here talking to you in the beginning of the year about a game that is going to be nominated for Game of the Year this year. That really, when you boil it down to actual game play, doesn't really have all that much.
No, it doesn't. You're absolutely right.
It's astonishing to me. It is so unique, and you would think that it would be so boring, but the story and how it unravels and the choices you make and the mechanics involved and how you make those choices really makes you feel like you are a part of this game. And I thought that the origami thing was such a douche move to do, because when I made the connection of the origami killer and Ethan, you know, always waking up with these origami things, I started going, okay, I get it. While I was waiting for this game to load, I'm sitting there doing an origami thing because I'm bored and I have nothing else to do. And that's probably why these killings are happening. And I am the origami killer. I just don't know how I'm the origami killer. Fuck you, video game.
Well, it liked to make you think that.
Well, there's quite a few times where I thought I knew who the origami killer was. I'm not going to go into all the major details because a lot of them will change the story, and it's really kind of hard to spoil the ending because depending upon what you choose, you may or may not get the same ending that I got initially or the endings that Panda has gotten, because I know that you've played it through twice.
I played through it technically. It took me 3 days to get all the trophies and all the endings, but I was also on a mission.
Were you on a mission from God?
I was on a mission from God, and God said, you need to get this platinum trophy.
Well, good
now. And I did.
I've only played it once, and I keep talking about going back and playing it again, but I don't know that emotionally I could handle it right now, and I don't think that it's kind of a wussy thing to say, but it had a profound effect on me, for sure.
It did. I'm very glad that this game came out. It was original.
It is. It's very original.
And in a time where games are very cookie cutter and, you know, tend to have the same kind of mechanics over and over again.
Well,
granted, this game was repetitious. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, compared to all the other games that are out there right now, it wasn't
a button mashing repetition, even though you were mashing buttons for a lot of times. Like, it didn't have
I wouldn't even say that there are many options where you're actually button mashing. There was a lot of finger twisting.
Oh, there was a lot of things where you're like, no, zero. No.
I never had a problem with the button mashing or the unfolding. It was the finger twister. Like I call it.
The finger twisters.
Where you have to hold three different buttons.
No, the ones where you have to hold five different buttons suck.
Well, that's during one particular trial, and that should have been a sign that's not the way you should have gone.
Totally the way. I followed it. I followed the symbol.
No.
Okay, and I had to be like, oh, this one. Okay, now it's start off with the square.
No,
okay,
now
circle.
Squares are bad. Okay, so for those of you guys who are playing and haven't gotten to this place, there's a particular trial.
There's a fucking rung of hell.
And it's pretty interesting because you go through a pretty shitty start and you think, oh,
I've done it now. This is the shitty piece.
No. And it's not.
No.
It's the prologue.
It's the
shitty part.
It is the foreplay.
And the only clue I will give you.
Butterfly sucks.
One, butterfly sucks, but that's not a clue or a hint.
It's the truth.
Squares are bad. Always.
Yeah, well, you know what? When I called you, you should have told me square was bad always.
I should have.
All you said was butterfly sucks.
Yes. Yes, because I wanted to see if you could do it.
Barely.
No. And also, on a side note for another hint, refrigerators are magical.
Refrigerators are magical. Or refrigerators can be magical.
Yes. But anyway, so I mean, yeah. So I'm kind of glad that we're not really divulging a lot of the story. I mean, yeah, we've
talked about
the beginning. But I mean,
it is great. It is so different than anything else I've played. And I'm honestly.
Oh, don't forget the sex. I'm spoiling the sex.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're the only one of us that actually pulled that off. So,
well, yeah. Okay. So,
I know you're so excited.
I am. Because as we already know, I had a field day with the whole, oh my God, I can pee standing up. So you have to imagine how elated I was at the fact that there's a point where Ethan gets the fuck the shit out of Madison in the hotel room. So if you didn't know that, I'm sorry that you had to find out from me.
But we told you we were going to spoil some shit.
Yeah. And it is completely worth it, ladies and gentlemen. I played it, like I was talking earlier, I had played it in front of Eshmom. And I was debating on whether or not I was going to do it again and have Eshmom watch. Because Eshmom had watched me play Dragon Age and thought it was really interesting how they all had sex with bras and panties on. And then she thought it was even more interesting that, you know, in space you can have sex without having to take any clothes off. Which is like, Mass Effect 2.
Like, and, all right, so you can have sex with bras and panties on, or you can have sex with all your clothes on.
You know, so she was expecting that was going to happen here. And believe it or not, it's sexy. You know, Ethan, depending on, you know, how well you've been doing with your trials, might have one gash on his head and could possibly be missing a finger, maybe, or not. And, you know, he's battered and he's bruised, but he's saving his son. And us women, we know that a man who is determined like that and has that kind of passion.
Oh, he's hot. He gonna get some.
He gonna get some.
Yeah.
And Madison's just like, I want your man piece. And you have the option to take her or not. And if you haven't done it yet, then you need to. Because, I mean, it is action-packed. There's unzipping of pants and shirts are lifting off, and you even get to do that whole I'm going to take off your bra and we're going to roll around on the hotel floor in our jeans, and then we're going to take our jeans off and we're going to fuck on the floor. Fuck the bed. Fuck conventional fucking, ladies and gentlemen. This is hardcore dirty like in the old days. Fuck it.
In a CD motel.
In a motel, not even a hotel, a motel.
Yep, no Holiday Inn. Mm-mm.
And I mean,
nope.
it is awesome. I love that.
And that's a trend, though, that we're seeing. I mean, you know, in talking about Dante's Inferno.
You see titties.
There's,
and you see butts, and you see humping.
Well, there's a lot more of that happening, though, in mature titles, okay? You look at God of War, okay? It's just chock full of titties.
Titties, 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 titties.
Okay, titties by the pair. And okay. I don't have anything wrong with that. Okay, Dante's Inferno? Yeah, there's titties in Dante's Inferno. There's also, you know, phallic buildings as well.
Penises!
As, columns.
Erect columns.
With, you know, helmets and...
Whispering eyes. That means vagina.
They're those, and then there are also female characters that kind of shoot tentacles out
tentacle penises.
Of themselves from an area.
Vagina.
So, you know, there's a lot of that. Now, that's only in one level, but hey, you're running through hell. You're going to see some things, right?
You're gonna see some fucked up shit.
There are going to be some messed up things. Unbaptized babies pouring out of Cleopatra's nipples. You know, there'll be some of that. But there'll also be other
babies.
There'll be other titties. And there will be digital cock and booty. And I'm sure there'll be some in the next game. And, you know, God of War 3, I'm sure, is not going to let us down.
It will not be lackluster in titties.
There is another sex game, you know, or two.
Orgy now. It's not just a threesome, guys. It's orgy. It's like 15 chicks.
Kratos is, you know.
He's a god now.
He's a god, for crying out loud. It takes a little bit more to satisfy.
Anyway, we're getting
off. But I think that you're going to see more mature elements in your games that are mature rated moving forward on these platforms. I think the thing that is most disturbing about Heavy Rain for me, and I'm not even a parent, so I can't imagine it, is how real, one, the characters look.
How real the fear is.
And how real
the desperation is.
That desperation is. Like, I was really, really...
Well, that's also because the creators, I think Quantum Dream... got actual actors, which is why Ethan is not voiced by Nolan North or anyone from that cast. These are actual actors You know, and they kind of did the same kind of technology that they did in Polar Express with Tom Hanks with the balls to get, you know, the actual
capture.
And they put these balls all over these actors.
I don't know. You got to be careful when you put balls on actors. You might not get the reaction that you're expecting.
It's really funny because the more that you do in the game, you unlock bonuses. And you can actually see how they do it. Like during the parts where, you know, like when Norman shows up at the crime scene during his first, when you first get introduced to him, you know, and he's trying, you know, he's looking for Blake. You see the actor, and believe it or not, these pixelated characters that we know do look a lot like the actors, minus a hair color or an eye color, but the features are exactly the same.
I think that's really where I was captured by the game.
I felt like I
was watching a movie unfold, and that I actually got to choose and affect the story the movie.
It's enriched.
So I give Heavy Rain a 5 out of 5. I mean, it is emotionally amazing. The story is really compelling. The game
and the deaths are numerous, guys. There are multiple ways that any given character can die
at different times, and different things will happen because of it. And I take my hat off to Quantum Dream. You guys really, really has something special here. It's fucked up. I'm not going to lie.
You guys know how to create a tension scene, make us want to do the obvious thing, and then by choosing the obvious thing, realize that you probably shouldn't have done that.
Yep.
Or you should have done you should have pussied out and ran for the door.
Don't pussy out.
No. Do your snooping. No, go for the door. Not in Butterfly. Not in Butterfly.
Don't go for the door in Butterfly. Go for the other door on the other thing.
In the other thing, go. After you do your snooping,
go for the door.
Do not stay.
Don't stay. Do not.
Do not stay.
That's all we're going to say.
Yes. Because if you do and you don't do things,
bad things are going to happen.
And horrible, unfortunate things will befall you.
Yeah. So, Heavy Rain, we both give it 5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. I want to get the downloadable content that's coming out this week.
Yes.
Actually, I'm planning to get that.
Okay. So, we've got one more thing. It's just a little thing we got to talk about. You might have heard about it. You might not.
If you're one of those people who looks at their Twitter, then you've seen it.
Right. If you haven't, for the 12 of you that don't have Twitter accounts, we'll share. Infinity Ward and Activision have pretty much gotten into it.
Oh, God.
If you don't know who Infinity Ward is, they are the awesome folks that make
Modern Warfare 1 and 2.
Well, and so here's basically what sort of happened. There was some kind of altercation, and then Infinity Ward got put on lockdown for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. No one was leaving the premises.
Activision sent in some security people. Nobody got to leave the premises. So some of them were Twittering about being stuck in the building and not being let out of the building. So they were involuntarily kept in the building.
Hostage situation.
Okay. By their employer. A couple of the Infinity Ward guys, pretty much the people who, you know, like started it, had the ideas for it, that kind of deal, got fired. I'm sorry, let go.
Got left.
By Activision. Okay. And now they're suing Activision. Okay, and they filed a suit on March 3rd. Jason West and Vince Zampella, because they want to be paid royalties earned from Modern Warfare 2 and get their rights back to the Modern Warfare line of games. So basically, what they said in their suit was that Activision was trying to pull some Orwellian type moves on them.
Oh, God.
And was trying to basically not pay them what they were owed. They were either trying to withhold or reduce a bonus payment. on the game, which, by the way, has sold, like, almost $1 billion?
No. Modern Warfare in its first 2 days in North America and across the pond, 310 mil.
Right. I'm just talking about Modern Warfare, though, as a franchise.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the Call of Duty Modern Warfare as a franchise has done almost $1 billion total. Okay, that's not, you know, chump change.
No.
Okay, and these guys are basically due a piece, and Activision tried to renege on it. So they were like, well, either you pay us what we owe, or you're in breach of contract, and fuck you, we'll just do our own thing. And so Activision was like, y'all are not walking out of this building with our code. And they're like, it's not your code. And they had a fight. And they got rid of the two guys that started the company. Now, how stupid is that?
I know.
Has no one learned from the Clover incident?
Apparently not.
You don't piss off your designers. You don't piss off the idea people. Okay? Because middle management, you can find anywhere. And you can grow from anywhere. Creative types with new ideas and IPs, those don't just fall off of a fucking tree.
No, they don't.
And how stupid are you for locking bitches up in the building? Really?
No.
What are you, like some kind of bad boyfriend? No, I'm gonna fuck you till you love me.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, where did that come from? I'm just saying.
A very dark and unhappy place.
I have been playing Heavy Rain. But seriously, it's so fucked up. And I just think it goes to show just how desperate Activision is to stay above board.
Do you think they had guns?
I don't think that they had guns. I think they just had big fucking dudes who were just like, no, you're not getting past me.
Oh, man.
Try it again. You're not getting past me. You know, like bouncers at a club with a velvet rope, but big dudes.
Except there was no velvet rope.
But there was no velvet rope.
There was no techno music.
There was no techno music.
No glow sticks for you.
No. And if there is a glow stick, you don't want to know where it was going to go. So... Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I think it's really stupid, and I think that it just kind of shows that Activision's probably a little bit more desperate than most of us really thought as far as making a profit. I mean, if you look at the announcement that they made a little while ago about, as far as music games going, that they were just going to focus on the Guitar Hero franchise and DJ Hero. So I don't think you'll see Band Hero anymore, and I'm not even sure that you're going to see a lot of branded Guitar Hero games. I think you're just going to see Guitar Hero World Domination or whatever the fuck they're going to call it. But you're not going to see, you know, a Kiss Guitar Hero and Guess Who Guitar Hero. You're probably just going to see from here on out Guitar Heroes. And I think that you'll also see something similar happen with the Rock Band franchise if they stay alive. But I think that Activision's really putting all of its eggs, as far as money making goes, into the baskets of the Guitar Heroes, the DJ Heroes, and the Call of Duties. And when presented with the possibility of Infinity Ward taking their Tinker Toys and leaving after already having a mix-up and missed opportunity with keeping Harmonix in-house, I think they just panicked. But it was stupid. I want to know what you guys think about the situation. If you're not sure about it, check out our website. We've got a couple of things up about it. You can also check out the Kotaku website and Destructoid. And then hit us up at questions@esh.mobi. And let us know what you think. Because I'm curious to know what your thoughts on the lockdown and the subsequent suit. And what is really going on in the industry.
Are we going to see more of this from our big distributors or our big... I mean, if Activision feels that they can, you know, physically keep people in a hostage situation, minus
what's
guns,
EA gonna do for crying out loud?
Jesus. I know, right? Yeah, exactly.
So hit us up, and we'll do something on the website about it. We'll use some of your quotes. We'll open up a post. We'll open it up for conversation. We'll get the dialogue going. So make sure that you hit us up on the website www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. Please subscribe to the feed, people.
That way you get all of the episode.
Yeah, all of it.
All of its lusciousness.
You can also plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network.
You can find episodes of our podcast airing each week on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. Our episodes air during the week, I believe, still.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday, and we're still at 8:30 Eastern, which works out to be 5:30 Pacific. You can also check out some of the other great entertaining shows over there, like Dead Pixel Live.
And Gametopius.
As Bobby Blackwolf show for sure. And let them know that you heard about it from us, because we like getting credit. It's pretty nerdy. So you can get, you know, your geek on, which is important during the week. You can also check out some of the other shows coming out of the ESH camp, like the Boston Bastard Brigade, helmed by our very own King Baby Duck, and Geek Aggro, hosted by, well, I should say at least co-hosted, by our very own Deuces Wild. You can follow us all on Twitter. You can join our Facebook group. You can interact and ask us questions. You can get your questions pretty much answered on a usually regular-ish basis. And just have a ball with us.
And you can see us on YouTube.
So make sure that you check out all those avenues by visiting our website, www.electricsisterhood.com/socialize. And we got to start talking about it sooner or later. We's going to PAX! Woo!
Yes, we're going to PAX East, everybody.
At the end of the month, we will be there. And there will be a collaboration. There's going to be some collab going on.
Some co-mingling.
There will be a Boston Bastard Brigade ESH podcast episode.
A bresh.
Yes. A bresh. I like that.
Or besh. Actually, B3, because the 3 would be an E. Besh.
Yes.
Beesh. Beesh. Because ESH.
Yes. I am
beesh.
Beesh. Big beesh. So, we're going to have a lot of coverage coming for you from both of our fronts. Make sure that you're checking that stuff out. And, you know, who knows? There might be some video. I'm just saying. So I'm going to have to ask you, Panda. You got anything you need to disclose?
I want to disclose that I'm very excited about Final Fantasy 13 coming out this week. And that I has a job and monies. And I will be spending said dividends at GameStop. I will be investing in GameStop. I disclose that there will be investments made by me to GameStop this week.
I see. That's
and that my hair is sexy.
Okay.
What are you disclosing?
I would like to disclose that short people do have a reason to live, and it's to play Heavy Rain.
What does short people have to do with Heavy Rain?
Everything and nothing.
That was cool. Very deep.
At the same time.
Very deep. Very deep.
So, as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out of here.
See you guys next week.